It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And 1 Peter 2:13 through 17, found on page 1201. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God and honor the King. Father God, we ask that you would bless to us the reading and the hearing of your word. We thank you that Pastor Chris, with due diligence, has listened to you and studied your word. And we ask that the things he has on his heart from you that he shares with us today will cause us to contemplate our own ways and to make changes as needed. And we thank you for this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Every now and then I pause a series I may be doing and do a topical or an issue-oriented sermon. We've been going through the book of John, and we'll continue that after today. But I find that July 4th is a good time to talk about citizenship, to talk about what it means to be a Christian and be a part of our country. And in this case, I want to talk about, is it okay to be patriotic? And you may say, well, this guy was in the Army, was a chaplain for 27 years. I guess he's going to say yes. And you would be right. But I want to say that patriotism in a Christian context has a kind of a caveat, if you will, that we should be patriots in the best sense of the word, and that's what I want to talk about today. We've heard about part of our job as Christians is to be salt and light. That means we aren't to just stick to ourselves, but to be out in the world showing what God has done for us. We are also to submit to the authorities. That's not a blind submission, but it is a way of... Saying that we are going to submit to what God wants us to do and through that particular person. And for some reason, my scripture is, I like to use these things with big letters because I don't know if anybody has that same problem, but I can't see a thing sometimes. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. When in doubt, get out the Bible, huh? Well, I'm just going to hold it right here. And if I miss it, I'm reading selected verses from Isaiah 40. And we all know at least part of this scripture. We've heard bits and part of it, bits and pieces of it. Comfort, comfort my people. And at the end, it talks about mounting up with wings like eagles. But in this passage, what I really want you to see are two things, because Isaiah was trying to say a couple of very strong things. One, God's in charge. And the other is that in God's sight, all nations are as nothing to him and compared to his power. Listen to what he says. He says, a voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all human faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or the breath of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in the basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who can fathom the spirit of the Lord, or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him, and who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge, or showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in the bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Before him, all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. With whom then will you compare God? To what image will you liken him? An idol, a metal worker casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. Have you not understood? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Don't you know that he, our God, sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers? He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of the world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither and the whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. D. James Kennedy, who passed away several years ago, wrote these things about America. He said, only in America can a pizza get to your house faster than an ambulance. Only in America do drugstores make the sick walk all the way back to the back of the store to get their prescriptions, while healthy people can buy cigarettes out front. Only in America do people order double cheeseburgers, large fries, and a Diet Coke. Only in America do we leave cars worth thousands of dollars in the driveway and put our junk in the garage. Only in America do we buy hot dogs in packages of 10 and buns in packages of 8. And from another man named Louis Grizzard, you'll hear me quote him, he was a writer for the Atlanta Journal. Ours is the only country in the world where people pay $200,000 for a house and then leave it for 2 weeks every summer to sleep in a tent. Or from another person, last but not least, only in America do we use the word politics to describe the process so well. Poly in Latin meaning many, and ticks meaning blood-sucking creatures. Apologies to politicians. Irma Bombeck said this, though. America is the only place where the celebration of our country's birth is not so much military things, though today we're represented by military folks. Only in America do we celebrate the birth of our country through hot dogs and apple pie and picnics and parades and fireworks and basically having a nice party. It's a great country. And indeed it is. But should Christians be patriotic? Some Christians don't think so. And maybe for good reason. There are other countries, after all, and Christians live in them. What do we do as people in our country? Well, as I said, I think Christians should be patriotic in the best sense of the word. St. Augustine, one of the greatest Christian theologians, living in the 5th century during the time of Rome, said this. He said, God calls Christians to be patriots in the best sense of the word. They are to love their nations not because they have to, nor out of allegiance to a particular politician or ruler, but precisely because they love their king and his kingdom more than their own nation. And because our King, Jesus himself, commands us to love our neighbors and promote justice and compassion in the land. That doesn't mean that our country doesn't have problems. Every country has problems. Why? Because it's made of people. And people are sinners. All of us. And you put a bunch of sinners together, what do you get? You get a bunch of sin. But there are countries who do better than others, and we are grateful for what is good about our country. On the other hand, our country is like our family. If it's not right, we love it enough to put it right as best we can. Secondly, our highest loyalty, we must always remember that our highest loyalty must always be to God and His kingdom. You know, many issues boil down to the first commandment. Anybody remember what the first commandment is? You shall have no other gods before me, right? You know, there's not a week that goes by that I don't hear on the television some actor saying in some show that all gods are the same after all, right? Not according to the Bible. And if you do a comparative religion study, I can guarantee you that even from a human perspective, the differences are incredible. So to say that they're all the same is not only intellectually, but theologically wrong. And in Jesus, in the old times, when the Ten Commandments were given, there was a great concern about worshiping other gods of stone. We heard that in Isaiah. People would make pieces of wood or stone or whatever it is, or worship the sun and the stars and you name it, they worshiped it. In some cases, they've just found a big stack of skulls down in the Maya Incas where they basically did a lot of human sacrifice. They did that in ancient Israel as well. And we might say, oh, we're much more advanced than that. We don't have gods like that. Oh, but we have gods, don't we? We just substitute things. We have our TVs and our cars and our houses, but we also have our money and we have power, and the biggest thing we worship is ourselves. It's all about me. You know, if I had my cell phone out, I'd be doing a selfie now. Actually, you know, there's nothing wrong with a selfie, but I mean, gee whiz, aren't we a narcissistic culture? Which means it's all about me. Isn't that a kind of worship? Well, I think it is. We worship things as well. Our loyalty must be to God. And the first commandment says, you shall have no other gods before me. That includes our country. It includes our country. You know, the last few years has been a debate about the Pledge of Allegiance. People are opposed to having the phrase under God. And their point is that it was added by President Eisenhower. It wasn't there in the first place. And my view is, well, so what? If it isn't there, I would hope it would be. It's not so much a declaration of faith. It's kind of a warning, I think. You know, remember what Isaiah said, nations are like a drop in the bucket. Do you hear that? And I believe, and this is Chris talking, that I think we're reaping the whirlwind a little bit because we are so busy taking God out of the public square. I was a chaplain in the Army, and that's a secular world. And you weren't allowed to proselyte. And I was okay with that. Somebody asked me about God, I could talk about God to them. I was allowed to do my worship services. I was allowed to wear a cross on my uniform. What an incredible thing. In a secular world. But I knew the line, And I didn't go out of my way to insult people or offend them. But I was a witness because I had that cross. I would get up and say sometimes, you know, guys and gals, I'm a chaplain and I have a cross on my uniform, so what you see is what you get. So if you have to say something you don't like or you don't agree with, just ignore it. You can talk to me about it later. And so I was not trying to be winsome. I was trying to be, okay, look, it's okay. But I didn't compromise about what I believed. We must obey the Lord because He is first. We must also, I think, we must avoid extremes. Now, we know what I'm talking about here. I think there are basically two extremes, lots of things in between. One extreme is to make America a sort of be-all, end-all. It's as though America and even some Christians, in America, some Christians seem to talk this way, that America is some kind of messiah, a messianic place. Now, I know I'm treading lightly on some ground here. But remember again the words of Isaiah. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground that He blows on them and they wither. Now I'm hoping America lasts a long time. And I don't want you to get the wrong idea. I wore the uniform for 27 years. And I'm proud of it. And I love it when I see the flag. I get a little heart beating going on sometimes. But loyalty is to Jesus first. And we have a duty to be patriotic, I believe. But we need to avoid the extremes that sometimes people go to about their country. I don't believe America is a chosen nation, but what I do believe is that God's in charge, and God has used America for lots of different things, lots of good things, and we can affirm that. Now, I'm a Southern boy. I know my name is Carlson, and you might think I'm from Minnesota. I'm not. My father was from South Dakota. And he met a Southern girl in Memphis, Tennessee after the war, and here I am today. And I grew up in Memphis, Tennessee, and then Atlanta, Georgia. And every now and then, I'm sure you can hear the Southern accent. If I get tired, you'll hear the Southern accent. I really start talking like I'm from somewhere down there anyway. But you know what? I thank God the South lost the war. I thank God. And certainly because of slavery is an abomination in God's sight. We need to get rid of that. But there are other reasons, and some of it's the benefit of hindsight. Can you imagine a 20th century trying to face Hitler from a divided nation? How would that turned out? I don't know, but I don't think well. How would it have turned out in a divided nation facing up to the Russians? Some of you are not old enough to understand. Well, we were alive then, knew. We didn't always do well in that fight, but we were standing against a group that wanted to take over the world again, just like Hitler did. Would that have gone well? I don't think so. Now, is America perfect? Could America fall away? It can. But I believe God has used our nation. Not maybe because we're more righteous than others. I have no idea. But God's used our nation. I believe that. And we should be thankful for that. We should be thankful for that. I think the point is God has used us and God will continue to use us. And then the other extreme we need to avoid is that America is always wrong. We don't need world tours of apology for America. There are groups in America who want to blame America first for everything. And so many today do not really care about children being separated from their parents. All they really want is a piece of propaganda to win elections. And that works on both sides, don't get me wrong. I think we need to avoid violence in lots of different ways. Not just guns, but name-calling. All kinds of names that we use for the other side or wherever we happen to be. That's violence too. We need to be thankful for our nation, recognizing its flaws by all means and working to deal with them. But being thankful that we are where we are and have what we have. New York Times carried a thought-provoking essay from a woman who emigrated from Poland way back when. She came to America with $2.60. And over the next few years, she and her husband had created a stable for life for themselves. And in her essay, she says, "I love this country because when I want to move from one place to another, I don't have to ask for permission. I love it even with inflation. I do not have to pay a day's earning for a small chicken. I love America because America trusts me. I love it because my mail is not censored. My phone is not tapped. My conversation with friends is not reported to the secret police. At least not yet." We also need to remember the sacrifices that have been made for us. I've been interested to see what's happened in the church sometimes and how things have been changed. And you know, in the hymn books, some of the words have been changed. For example, one of the songs we sing a lot, of course, is the Battle Hymn of the Republic. And in the newer, older hymn books, the words, the last verse went this way: "And as he died, as he died to make men holy, so let us die to make men free." In the newer hymn books, it's "As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free." Now, there's nothing wrong with that, verbally. We should live to make people free. On the other hand, I think sometimes in our modern world, we have forgotten that it takes sacrifice, even dying. There are things worth dying for, and we've forgotten that. And people have died for us. People have died. I know you have. Many of you haven't, though. If you get a chance to go to a national cemetery, you really should. Row upon row in perfect symmetry. Thousands of them. All representing a life, a person who served, or a family member that served with them. Sacrificing themselves and their life for a greater good. Peter Marshall once said, "The choice before us is plain: Christ or chaos, conviction or compromise, discipline or disintegration. I am rather tired of hearing about our rights and privileges as American citizens. The time has come, and it is now, that we ought to hear about the duties and responsibilities of our citizenship. America's future depends upon her acceptance, accepting and demonstrating God's government." And he wrote that 50 years ago, pretty much. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." I find that amazing. I can't believe that sometimes, that he considers me light. If I'm a dirty mirror, if that's the case. But he still says it. And my job is to let that light shine as best we can, not in our own righteousness. That's one mistake we make, is Jesus' righteousness and what he does for us. Like yeast that goes through the dough, like salt that gives flavor and preserves, like light which shines God's light, we are to find the light where we are in the particular country where we live. And that happens to be America. I know I'm going a little long, but I really have to read you something. Something that was handed out by the Polish troops at our forward operating base in Afghanistan when I was there. We had other countries than our FOBs. And these were a letter that these Polish troops wrote and gave to us on July 4th of that year, 2008. 232 years ago, when your forefathers signed the Declaration of Independence, they changed the history of the world. Thanks to their sacrifices, the world realized the true meaning of freedom. Independence and freedom are powerful words in your country, as they are in Poland. When the United States gained independence, Poland was in the process of slowly losing portions of its borders to its neighbors. We appreciate your efforts toward a unified and independent United States of America because we know how difficult it is to regain freedom and independence. Today, we can be very happy with living in independent countries. Today, we fight together for freedom for people in other countries, like in Afghanistan. 4th of July and Independence Day are identified in our country with aspiring to freedom, and that is why we are so happy that we can celebrate this day with you. Today, we wish you and your nation a peaceful and a happy day. Polish soldiers, Polish military contingent, Afghanistan. I'll make you a copy if you want. But they're powerful words. And we forget the sacrifices that have been made over the years. And we forget that freedom is not free, costing billions of dollars and lives. Perhaps even more, we forget that freedom is easily lost. And those who've lost it and regained it understand that more than anyone. And we who have it sometimes forget what it takes to keep it. As Christians, I think we're called to serve the place where we are for the benefit of others as best we can, knowing that God is God, that Jesus is the King, and it is His kingdom that matters the most. We are still called to serve the place where we are as best we can. So yes, patriots in that sense, the best sense, I think. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.